Momentum Men is brought to you by ReUp, the creators of resources to disciple men like Jesus did, educating, encouraging, and empowering men to grow in Christ and disciple others. Featuring a platform filled with men's Bible studies for individuals or groups. Men, living by His life. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. ReUp, proud sponsor of Momentum Australia.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
They can see me, hear me. They've got full access to what's going on that I'm broadcasting. I can't see or hear them. It's not a Zoom call. So they can just type in the chat, which also gives them full anonymity to ask deep, hard-hitting questions, knowing that their reputation isn't on the line, because they can be whoever they want to be and still seek that support and seek that help and seek those answers. And that's a really unique thing that we get to encounter.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Dez.
Okay, well, welcome to this week's Momentum. It is Tim and Dez with you once again, wherever you may be around the nation. And look, if you're listening on the podcast, wherever you are around the world, it is really, really great to have you tuning in. Thank you for spending some time with us. Dez, my co-host and Irish friend, how are you this week?
I'm Australian, man. I'm not Irish. I'm great, thank you. It's really great to be with you. You know, I love the fact that we're able to do this and just so into people's lives. It's really so good. And while I've got the control of the microphone, let me just say our website is an amazing piece of available resource. So MomentumAustralia.org, all our previous podcasts, and I think it's 140 plus shows we've done already. Lots of other resources to help you in your journey. And also, if you really would like to donate to this ministry, because we run lean and mean, please, you can do that on our website and we'd really appreciate that. And also, guys, if you're doing life on your own and you need to have a safe and confidential conversation, please reach out to our care line. It's 1-800-000-MEN. Such an easy number to remember. It's 1-800-000-636, and it's provided by our friends at Careline Connections. Really great organization. You can reach out to them 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. That's 1-800-000-MEN. And also, we've got YouTube channel. So we're taking a lot of our previous podcasts and we are putting them on to YouTube at momentum_4_men. It's a weekly show. So you can see us as well as hear us. And that's amazing. How are you today, Tim?
Yeah, look, I'm really well, man. Always excited to step into the space. And just quickly off the back of that, we do Momentum because we want to help you guys wherever you are. Not that Des and I have all the answers. We've learned some stuff the hard way. We want to share that with you. But we get great people in the studio with us just to encourage you in this journey called life. Because let's be honest, it's challenging at times. And we as guys tend to retreat when life gets challenging. And we're kind of coming to you going, no, please do the opposite. Don't disappear and go silent and do life on your own. Get connected. But not just get connected, have conversations. And again, we've talked about the care line there, 1-800-000-636. If you need a confidential conversation outside of your circle, please do have that conversation. Don't suffer in silence. And you know, there's lots of different areas that we can struggle with as guys. And this week is an area that may not necessarily be relevant for you, depending on your age bracket, but certainly might be for your kids. According to the latest data, there are approximately 3.32 billion active video gamers worldwide, and the industry being worth close to about $300 billion. Now, this is not an area that Des and I know too much about. We're a little different on the generation side, but one man in particular has made this a mission to create a safe, family-friendly online community where gamers and non-gamers can get together, have some fun, and also talk about their faith.
This man went to Bible college and spent 10 years as a youth pastor before he saw the need in this space. And I guess when you're dealing with young people and you see what they're struggling with and that whole gaming thing is really key, he and his wife then took a step of faith and stepped into this online space full time. Amazing. He's known as Pastor Scar and he joins us on this week's Momentum. Welcome to Momentum.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Full name, Kieran Scaria.
Yep, that's the one, Kieran Scaria or Pastor Scar.
There'll be people listening who perhaps are a little younger than Des and I that are fully locked into who you are. They know you. They watch your stuff. There's people Des's age and I who go like, okay, he seems pretty cool. He looks pretty cool. That's a cool name. I have no idea what he does. So let's just unpack that. I mean, let's paint a picture of your life right now. So guys listening can go, oh, okay, this is who he is. So what does your life look like right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So My name is Kieran, or Pastor Scar. I am an ordained reverend with the Baptist Association of New South Wales and ACT. I live in Sydney, Australia, married to a lovely lady named Sarah. I have a beautiful cat that showed up on our doorstep one day and just never left, which apparently is what cats do. We didn't know that, but here we are.
Perhaps if you stop feeding the cat, it would disappear.
Yeah, we tried that. It didn't disappear. Oh, and, right. There it is. But so essentially my story in a nutshell is, having worked in local church ministry in that pastoral role as youth pastor and then associate pastor for a number of years, seeing that so many young people are spending more and more time in the digital space, particularly the online world, particularly in gaming. And I myself was someone also who had spent a lot of time in the gaming space. I just never saw that as a viable mode for ministry, to connect with people, to do life or minister to anyone. But all of that changed from 2018. But today what I do is essentially I create content. I go live on a website called Twitch, which is the largest live streaming platform in the world. It's owned by Amazon. So I go live on Twitch. I am on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, you name it. If it exists, you can search Pastor Scar and we're there. And essentially what myself and our volunteer team do is we get a chance to connect with people and give them a safe opportunity to one, have fun and enjoy the games that they love, but two, also be able to open some dialogue into really big, important topics, issues. We get to talk about faith openly. We get to talk about all those things. And it's a huge blessing to say, rather than the traditional mode of, hey, come to my youth event, it's, well, what if we bring that event to you? What if you don't even have to leave and you can connect in just like that, but still receive that same level of care, support, and encouragement? So that is, in a nutshell, what I do.
I love the fact that, you know, traditionally the church has been, you come into our space, but I'm coming into your space. And I think that is so profound. And I think actually where we're at in life right now, I think that's probably where we actually need to be more as a church, is we're not expecting people necessarily to come into our space. We've tried that for years, and yet our church congregations are dwindling to some degree. How about we come out of the church and we get into the spaces where we can actually meet people where they're at? And essentially, that's what you've done.
Exactly. You know, it's funny that you say that, because when this ministry started, it kind of started by accident. It was while I was still working full time at my church and was there. I remember sitting in my office and working on planning a youth event that was up and coming. And, you know, when sitting there thinking about the fact that our area was growing in people, like the demographic around our area where our church was growing, but the number of people that I was seeing in our traditional spaces that I'd been doing ministry for years and years, the skate park, the basketball court particularly, because they were right near the church, the number of people there wasn't increasing the same amount. And, you know, it didn't take long to go, well, hold on, where are they? And then recognize that to get to that skate park, I'm walking past dozens of houses, and those houses have people in them that aren't willing to go to the skate park or the church. No matter how nice I make this event, they're comfortable in their own environment. So I'm like, how therefore do we still love them and care for them? And you know, it's funny, at the start of this, you gave some stats on the number of gamers out there, and you said it's over 3.3 billion, right? And that, for most people like you and I, we hear that and we just go, that's a big number. But without context, it's hard to know how big. So I always like to say, yes, it's 3.3 billion. But for context, the world's population, every human being on planet Earth, is about 7.9 to 8 billion. Like, that's where we're at. So 3.3 billion out of 8 billion. And now we go, wait a minute, that's a really, really big people group. We're talking over a third of the world's population. So yeah, it's crazy.
And I guess the other side of it is Pastor, that you're not limited to your geographical area. You're talking to people, and they could be anywhere in the world. You know, and as long as you're speaking the same language, you can communicate with them and engage with them and help them. Is there an element that says that, doing what you're doing, you're encouraging people to stay more time gaming rather than looking for outside interests, for the want of a better word?
Yeah, I actually wouldn't say so. And here's why. After being on the platform, using it in this way for 6 years now, like we've been doing this for a while, since 2018 onwards, what I've found is that the people that we engage with aren't people that weren't gamers and are now starting to game. These are people that are already in those spaces. Their options, however, are to either be in those spaces with influencers that are going to be talking about, you know, whatever things that we don't want to encourage, right? The amount of sexism, racism, toxicity, like just what you name it, the internet is a dark and messed up place a lot of the time. So the way I saw it was, if we're not in that space, then the other options still are.
Yeah, yes.
So where's the alternative? And one of the things that I do intentionally is I talk about having a healthy balance. And I know we'll talk about this a little bit more soon, but I talk about the need for going, hey, everyone, I'm actually going to end the stream now because my wife and I are going to go for a walk. We're going to go and make dinner. We're going to, you know, lead by example in some of those modes and open those conversations after establishing rapport and trust by being one of them. I'm a gamer myself and therefore have that respect among others in that space.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about how your live stream works. Like, let's start with, how often do you go? Like, are you every day? Are you once a week? Like, how often do you jump on?
Yeah, so the stream schedule varies depending on life, depending on what works, depending on what other things we've got on. But for the most part, as far as 2024 is concerned, the stream schedule is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for 3 hours each day. So 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., typically the time slot when a lot of young people are getting home from school, to the time that kind of the workday would end. So 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And then on a Friday, we do what we call Friday Morning Unfiltered, which is just basically me waking up in the morning, hitting go live while still wearing my PJs, while making a coffee and getting my breakfast sorted. But I'm live streaming the entire process and we're just having good dialogue the entire way through. So the Friday streams have a lot less gaming and a lot more just good conversation, but it reaches a different people group. It reaches a different demographic and a different time zone as well. So we've added that into the mix and it's been working really well.
So in terms of doing that, are there people who would regularly log into your session, or how does that look like? What would people typically do to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those people that are listening to this right now and they're just like, hold on, I've heard the word gaming, I still don't really get what he does. Like, what is it? If you want to understand the way that a Twitch live stream would work in this mode, think of your standard YouTube video. Everyone's watched a YouTube video, but the difference being the person on the screen talks back to you in real time as you leave a comment under the video. So that I, in the room that I'm sitting in, have a monitor on my side where I can see every one of these comments, or the live chat we would call it.
Yeah.
And as people are typing, I am responding. So they can see me, hear me. They've got full access to what's going on that I'm broadcasting. I can't see or hear them. It's not a Zoom call. So they can just type in the chat, which also gives them full anonymity to ask deep, hard-hitting questions, knowing that their reputation isn't on the line, because they can be whoever they want to be and still seek that support and seek that help and seek those answers. And that's a really unique thing that we get to encounter. Yeah. And so that's basically how the live streaming mode works and looks. But yes, people can make accounts on any of these platforms, but also they can access everything that we have without making an account on anything. They can just click the link or show up when I go live and be there and participate just as much.
Wow.
So how many people do you, on average, how many jump onto a live stream with you at any given moment?
Yeah, so I actually don't have that answer intentionally, because a couple of years ago, I decided to turn off the view account. And that was an intentional move, because a lot of people in the live streaming space get caught up with the view account and then go, oh, it went down, so maybe I did something bad, or, you know, whatever it might be. Whereas my logic was, if there's even one single person here, I want them to know that God loves them. I want them to know their worth. I want them to know their value. So I've turned it off. But what I do know is how many people are now following the channel and the growth that comes from that, which I think today is sitting at about 23,000 people that are following the channel, many of which would get a notification every time we go live. That's just on Twitch. We also have more people on YouTube and more people on Instagram, and like, yeah, each platform is separate, but Twitch until now has been our main space. But this year we're starting to really build out all the other platforms too, to reach even more people.
And I'm assuming that this is obviously worldwide, right? You're getting those 24,000. I mean, that's from all around the world.
Yes, absolutely. So my last count had, I think it was 108 different countries that were tuning in to our live stream, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
I grew up at a very multicultural church in Southwest Sydney, in a very multicultural area. And I always thought, look at this, we're reaching the world. But it didn't, you know, dawn on me that yes, we're reaching people from these countries, but they've all got this commonality that they've all been lucky enough to move to Sydney, Australia, and be in this particular area. Whereas now with what I do, there are people that are in real time sitting in a different time zone, eating a different food, smelling different air with a different culture. And we've had, because of that, some really full-on stories from around the world, people in war-torn countries, people in all kinds of places that we get to minister to in real time because of the power of the internet.
How do you advertise? Is it just word of mouth, or is it, how do you reach those people?
Yeah, so for the most part, it is word of mouth. But we've also been successful in building this ministry out over time, just from having a good reputation over 6 years. So we've actually gotten partnered with Twitch, which is something typically reserved for the kind of highest tier of content creator on there. And I remember numerous people telling me, you're never going to get partnered on Twitch because you're outwardly Christian. The name of the channel is Pastor Scar. So people were like, you're never going to get partnered. And yet it happened, and God made a way. And so, you know, that has given us more opportunities to, you know, be found visibility wise. We partnered with Epic Games, the creators of Fortnite, one of the most popular games in the world. So we partnered with them. We now partnered on YouTube as well. So as the channel has grown and really been successful at what we do from that kind of content creator gamer industry level, it's provided more opportunity to connect with people and be seen by more people. I also speak at high schools quite often. I also, you know, do things like this podcast. And who knows if someone listening to this ends up going, you know what, I think I need that. Or maybe my nephew needs that, or whatever it might be. So
we've kind of set the ground in the first part of the show. We found out a bit about who you are. And now I'd love to actually, after the break, Scar, come back and talk about the impact that you're having. Hear some of those stories, but also some of the concerns from parents too, because I mean, obviously there's people listening right now that go, my kid is invested in this space and I'm not sure that it's fully healthy. And I don't know if they even follow you and have heard of it. Let's come back and unpack some of that on the other side of the show. Pastor Scar is our special guest. By the website, pastorscar.com. Check that out over the break. MomentumAustralia.org, of course, is our website. Have a squeeze around that. And we're going to come back and continue this conversation with Pastor Scar in just a tick right here on Momentum.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Momentum. Tim and Des with you, and our special guest is Pastor Scar. Check out the website, pastorscar.com. An amazing young man who's making an incredible difference in the gaming space. And Scar, one thing we haven't talked about is this fact that you've stepped into this space. You've got 20,000 followers, but better than that, you've created this community. And I love this so much. I think that you've created this online community that's safe, it's welcoming, it's friendly, it's respectful. And you kind of referred to that as the Scar fam. And you know, I've seen from some of your videos that some of the feedback from the kids, how that's made them feel and the difference that that's made in their life. And it's some of the positive comments that even I watched, I'm like, man, that's awesome. For these young kids to feel like they're attached to something that's online, which traditionally we think it's detaching when you get online, but this is a community they can step into that they feel welcomed. Tell us a bit about that from your perspective and go like, how did you create that? And what are you intentional about when you do that? Like, why is it important that kids online have this sort of community that you've created?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think for me, one of the key things that's driven me from the get-go, from you know, 2018 when I started in this space, was going, online kids are still kids and online people are still people, right? All we're doing is changing the medium. All we're doing is changing the mode. But what those intrinsic needs are, community, care, support, conversation, really genuinely connecting with someone, all of that is still very much there. Just because someone doesn't have access to, you know, where we are geographically, for whatever reason that might be, whether it's transport issues, whether it's, you know, self-esteem issues, whether it could be a variety of things, I don't want that to limit what people have access to. So for me, all it was a sense of going, what are we already doing? What has the church been doing for decades, generations, right? And not even just the church, but just communities around the world, what do they do? And therefore, how do we replicate that, but in a mode that is still accessible and genuine in the online space? And in the online space, for the most part, it's rife with all kinds of things that you don't want it to be. Like, unfortunately, it is a reality. And so I went, well, how do we create something that's different. And like you said yourself, since then, we've received so much feedback from people that are like, this is the thing I look forward to every day. This is the thing that I get home and I just can't wait to reconnect with this online family. Like you used the term Scarfam earlier. I actually didn't come up with that. That was something that was affectionately used by members of the community just naturally because they started going, man, it really feels like a family in here. You know, it feels like I can just talk to someone and just get some thoughts and get some encouragement and be prayed for in the middle of the day, even if I'm somewhere by myself. Like we've had people tune into the live stream when they are like at a party that they're feeling really uncomfortable with what else is going on at that party. And they pull out their phone, they jump in the live chat and they go, hey, could you just pray for me real quick? And we've been able to pray for them in real time. We've had so many scenarios that you would just go, the traditional mode of community wouldn't work in that scenario in the same way, at least. But here they can and have immediate access to tens, hundreds, thousands even of people that are going, hey, we're with you. We're not physically with you, but we're with you. Let's pray. Let's do this journey. And that's a truly incredible thing. And we've seen profound impact in lives from so many people. And many of them I've had the privilege of meeting in person, both in Australia and outside of Australia. My wife and I, when we've traveled, we've bumped into people at random in airports that have been like, hey, I'm a part of this and I just want you to know how much this means. Sure. Could we get a photo together? And then we get a chance to then talk to that kid's parents who is looking at us super confused, like, why is my kid wanting a photo with this random guy? And it just provides incredible opportunity using the technological tools that already exist to all of us, but with the same heart that those in the Christian world have probably seen or experienced their entire lives. But that's not normal for the outside world, if you will, until now, where we get to make that a possibility.
It's amazing. And it just comes to mind that there'd be so many young people who don't have, you know, a strong, vibrant family community. Yeah. You know, they may have lost a dad, they may have no parents at all, they may be fostered, they may be whatever. And for them, this is a whole new experience, God-based experience, which is just opens their mind to what family and community is. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's so true. I remember distinctly, and I'm not going to overshare here because this is a very full-on scenario, but someone in another country whose a family member was involved in a tragic event and lost their life. And this person in the real world, if you will, what we would refer to as IRL, which means, you know, your in-person life, if you will. In person, they were trying to be the strong, I need to be strong for my mom, for my siblings. I need to not show emotion. You know, they were going through that whole phase, but they were like, I can't talk to anyone in person because everyone is grieving this. But with us, they came in and they were like, you guys don't even know my real name. I can be as honest as I want. And so I'm hurting and here's what's going on. And they just told us all about what was going on. And I've been praying for that person regularly since then. Every time I see them in the chat, I check in and I go, hey, how's the family? How are you doing? Yeah. Like, you know, wow. And all that. And they've got that space that they know that the unnecessary info, if you will, of, you know, what nationality are you? What age are you? What, you know, all of those things. You know, they obviously the things that matter, but as far as you recognizing that God loves you, regardless of what nationality you are, that is true for you. Regardless of, you know, how physically able you are, that is true for you. You know, like we want people to know that whoever they are, wherever they are, that they are loved, that they are valued, and that they matter. And we get the opportunity to do that every day.
That's cool. Scott, let's just change tack for a second, if you don't mind, because I mean, that's the positive of what you're creating in this space, right? But traditionally for parents, and I'm 50 years old, Des is 70, we're a different generation.
You don't have to tell the whole world, you know?
Too late. but for us, the idea of gaming, like when you just say the word gaming, like we have very little connection to that. And if we do have a connection to that, it's probably going to be more negative than it is positive, because we think of that as going, okay, that's a That's an online space. We've heard some negative stuff about that. We've seen some of the graphicness of the games that come out these days. Some of them are quite sexual, I think. You know, there's violence, there's language, there's all of this stuff. And we think of gaming as negative. We go back to our childhood and gaming was very innocent and pure. And it's quite different. So let's step into the parental space, if you don't mind, for a sec and go, are there certain guidelines or things that you would say to parents to go, if your kid is involved in this space, here's some things that you either need to know or should be checking up on or need to ask or, you know, that sort of thing that, that we can kind of try and understand this space and where our kids are sitting and spending time a bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that's really important to remember is that gaming is it's an entire category of its own, in the same way that movies are or other things like that. And in the same way that there are movies that are family-friendly, fun-filled, innocent, great time, man, that's such a good feel-good movie, there are also movies that are not designed for children. There are movies that are stuff that you absolutely would not want your kid to watch. And the same thing applies for gaming. There are some games that are not designed for children. There are some games that are. There are some games that hold this gray area. The thing that I would encourage as a general principle to any parent who has a kid who is involved in the gaming space is plain and simple, know what they're involved in. So if they're like, man, I love this game called Minecraft, unless you know anything about Minecraft, that means nothing to you. Mm-hmm. So therefore, start Googling Minecraft, like start looking into what this is, take an interest in it. That also will speak wonders to your child because all of a sudden they'll go, huh.
You're showing an interest.
Yeah, which is rare, but I've seen it at work. Like there are families that watch the Pastor Scar live stream together. Like they'll each have their own account. They'll all be in the chat at the same time, live chatting, interacting, playing games with me online together, live on stream. And it's this wholesome, beautiful family moment. And we've seen this more than once with more than one family. Mm. And it's amazing the way that we've had feedback from those parents being like, I've never been able to connect with my kid this well than what I can now, simply because I decided that I was going to take an interest in something that they love. And I started, even if I never played the game, but I at least understood who the characters were. I understood what the storyline was. I could ask kind of leading questions in like, oh, did you defeat this boss today? Kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like whatever it might be. But that means so much to people. Mm. But like, I think it's really important to go, pay attention to what games are being played and therefore you'll know, all right, this particular game is something that I'm not comfortable with my kid playing, but that particular game is. There is no one size fits all. There is no blanket rule for just gaming as a whole. There's just too much vast differences among them all, which is where it's just important to kind of keep a close watch in that sense.
Let's talk about then the addiction side of things, but then also the online bullying side of things, that side of it, I mean, the negative side of that. I mean, are there things that we can look for in our kids that might indicate that they are having some issues, shall we say, whatever that looks like, online? Because if they're locked away in the bedroom or whatever, and, you know, they come out for food and go back in or whatever, like, are there things that we could look for in their behavior or comments or whatever that would indicate for us as parents, we need to dig a little deeper here to go that there might be something happening online that I don't know about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of those key things is just the demeanor, the mannerisms after a gaming session. See, a lot of people will put it down to, oh, gaming makes my kid mad. But it's like, well, hold on, is gaming making your kid mad? Or is the fact that there was someone else on a headset that was playing against your kid who was calling them all kinds of things that really hit them at a heart level, and now they've logged off that game, and what you've interpreted as the game made you mad for them is like, it could have been the game, it could have been at school, it could have been while playing soccer. It's not the game itself, it's the fact that there was a bully and I got bullied today, that's why I'm mad. I'm not saying that's always the case, and there are some people that get really invested in, you know, whatever they do and get really passionate, but you also see this in the sporting world, you see this in all kinds of aspects of life. But I think it's important to kind of look at some of those little things and go, okay, I'm noticing that every time they finish up, they seem a bit more down or sad or whatever. You know, maybe rather than assuming this is why, I can start a conversation with that person and go, hey, you doing okay? How's today? How's the game? Even for me, as a fully grown adult who games on stream and that kind of thing, there are some days where I end the stream. And as far as the gaming side of things go, I'm just like, that was the best thing ever. Like, I won every round. I was playing out of my mind. It was amazing. And then there are other days where I'll end it and I'm like, do I even have hands? Like, I don't understand how I played that poorly today. And I'll be frustrated at myself for that. Now, it won't last for very long.
Sure.
But it's something trivial and simple. But to someone that doesn't know what's going on, that can be misinterpreted very easily. But, for me, obviously, I look at what I do and I go, the gaming is always secondary. The people are primary. That's why I'm there. So at the end of the day, I always tell people, if the gameplay is awful, I'm fine with it. As long as the conversation isn't.
I think one of the key things there is, one, know what your kids are doing, but two, have a strong enough relationship with your kids, without fear, without judgment, where you can talk openly about what they do.
Absolutely. It's just to share one really quick story. I spoke at a church not long ago. And after the sermon, a family came up to me and they said, hey, we want to introduce our son to you because he's a big gamer. And the kid wouldn't make eye contact, staring at the floor the entire time, didn't want to be there, didn't want a bar of it. And the parents were genuinely trying, but the kid was just like, nah. And then I kind of looked at the kid and I said, hey, what game do you play? And he didn't even respond to me. And then the mum goes, oh, he plays Minecraft. And then I looked at him and I said, do you play Bedrock or Java? And immediately, by using his language, stuff that his parents were like, what did you just say? But this kid's eyes shot up, locked onto me, and he would not stop talking from that point on. His parents had to almost pry him away later. And they were like, we've never seen him do that before. And I was there as a guest preacher. I was there just speaking from God's word. But because I asked a question that implied, I know you, I know your world, I know that there are two versions of Minecraft and Minecraft fans are very passionate about which one they play and which one they don't. And this kid was one of those passionate kids. And it was just amazing seeing that flip of a switch just from connecting in at a level that he gets and that was just right there with him. And it was just this incredible moment that I remember so distinctly.
Yeah, and it's just that you identify what he is interested in and you went to another level that he probably wouldn't have gone to with his family.
I mean, that's a good thing for parents to note right there. Firstly, get involved, find out what they're doing. Even if it's not that interesting, find a bit about that. I suppose a final thought, Scar, is the idea that our kid could be spending way too much time in this space. I don't know what an average healthy recommendation is. You say your stream goes for about 3 hours. And then you rightfully go, hey, I'm going to jump off. My wife are going to whatever, whatever. So some guidelines just for parents to go, what is a healthy, functional kind of amount of line that our kids should be online? And then it's time to go, hey, sweetheart, might be time to turn that off and come and do something with the family or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. I genuinely wish that there was a blanket rule that was just kind of like, this is the magic number. This is the sweet spot. Sure. Unfortunately, the way that a lot of games are designed is that there are some games that physically cannot be played in a 20-minute break because each round of the game goes for 30 minutes. And so for a game like that, it's going to require a longer amount of time with each time it's played. Where there are other games that in a 20-minute window, you could play five different rounds of whatever the game is. So it really does depend. One thing that I talk about a lot on our live stream and that we demonstrate is those healthy boundaries. And I think that the way to determine where that sweet spot is for you as an individual or your young person, keeping in mind, by the way, that the average age of a gamer is mid-30s. So we're not talking about teenagers when we say gaming. And even our community reflects that. We've got people far older than I am that are regular members of our live stream and of our community. So just putting that context back in, I think it's really important to go, are you neglecting any area of your life for this? And if so, it's now a problem. You know what I mean? So if you're going, man, I just don't have time in the day. Like I couldn't get the dishes done. I couldn't do whatever, but I managed to play X amount of hours of this game. That's the moment where you got to go, well, hold on. I think you've got the priorities wrong. But if you are going, you know what? I've done all the things. I'm a functioning, healthy adult. I've gone to the gym. I've done everything that needs to be done. And yeah, you know what? I'm going to play something before I go to bed. By all means, all power to you. And so for me, I like to say, hey guys, this is what I'm doing after stream today. Or when people ask me, which they do basically every stream, hey, Scar, can you keep going? Can you keep streaming? And I'll say, sorry, no, I can't because I need to spend time with my wife now. Or, you know, we're going to go for a walk, or we're going to do whatever it is that we might do. Even something as simple as, sorry, we've got housework that we need to do. So, you know, we've played today. It was fun. We'll be back at it tomorrow. But as for today, we're going to call it there. I want to encourage everyone to do the same and that kind of thing. By leading by example, it gives a chance for people to go, huh, this guy's a gamer. He enjoys games, but he's also a functioning adult that's getting stuff done. Maybe we can have both.
So a final thought, if a gamer wants to reach out to you with, want to connect into you for whatever reason, whether it's good or bad, if a parent wants to reach out to you with maybe a concern or something like that, or, you know, they've got some funds that they want to put your way and help you to continue to do what you need to do, what's the best way to connect with Pastor Scott?
Love that. Great question. And the simple answer is Google. Google is a beautiful tool. And if you type in Pastor Scar, now to clarify, that's spelled S-K-A-R. So P-A-S-T-O-R, like pastor, like a pastor of a church, S-K-A-R. And if you're wondering where the name comes from, it's my last name, Kieran Scaria. So the first part of my last name and my occupation. So if you just Google Pastor Scar, you'll find us on every social media platform. So you could, you know, contact via that. The live stream functions on Twitch predominantly. We're also now live streaming on YouTube, and that will probably expand in the future. But there's also a website, just pastorscar.com. You've mentioned it a few times already. There is a donate button there if anyone wants to contribute to what we do. Everything we do is just funded by you know, regular mums, dads, people that go, hey, what you do matters and we want it to keep on going. So we're going to contribute to it how we can. So if anyone wants to join us in that journey and partner with us in that way, there's a way to do so via pastorscar.com. But yeah, otherwise, you know, I'm not hard to find living on the internet.
Mate, honestly, it's been an education for Des and I to some degree.
Totally.
And I know that this is an important subject, which is why we wanted to get you on Momentum. And, you know, I think to some degree we've covered a bit of ground, but we've also kind of just scratched the surface. But thank you for sharing, and thank you for what you're doing, man. It is important, and we take our hats off to you, even though we're not wearing any. But you know, you're stepping into a space which is important for our youth, and it's making a difference, most importantly. So thank you for that, and encourage you to check out the website, pastorscar.com. Scar, thanks for your time, man. It's been great chatting to you.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.